the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Welcome to Ascension Thursday on Sunday. Last Thursday was 40 days already from the Feast of Easter, and we celebrate Jesus returning to the Father being faithful, Jesus being faithful. And now, in imitation, we ask God's grace to be faithful, to enter into these holy mysteries, to become more deeply His sons and daughters. We begin as we always do now, examining our conscience, so that we might see ourselves truly, no rationalizations or excuses, so that we might turn to the Lord for the help that we need to be set free.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Father, make us joyful in the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we follow him into the new creation, for his ascension is our glory and our hope. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He answered them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." While he said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with the blood that is not his own, if that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, as he appeared at the end of ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, just as it is appointed that men and women die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since through the blood of Jesus we have confidence of entrance into the sanctuary by the new and living way he opened for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a sincere heart and in absolute trust, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope, for he who made the promise is trustworthy. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A number of years ago, when I was a seminarian, I had the good fortune to find myself in Jerusalem on the Feast of the Ascension. One of the great things about being in Jerusalem is you can go to the site where traditionally it's been celebrated, things really happened. It's a big deal to be in Bethlehem on Christmas. I missed being in Jerusalem on Easter by 1 week. I was there the
the next week, but you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, you go to the upper room. They've got sites identified for just about everything that happened in the New Testament and some of the things that didn't happen. I mean, this is where Jesus looked at a tree or had a glass of water or all kinds of stuff like that. So it was the Feast of the Ascension. Let's go to where the Ascension happened. Pretty clearly on the hill across from the temple, according to the scripture. So I and a few of my buddies, you know, are going to go out. Maybe even we'll catch Mass at the church on this feast. So we're looking, and it's not here, and the guidebook says it should be right around here, and it's not there, and somebody says over there, but it's not, and we paid some kids to tell us and to take us, and big surprise, they didn't do that either. We couldn't find it. As well as I could tell, and I think it's very probable, the actual site that was celebrated as the site of the Ascension for a while was then a Muslim mosque. No sign, no celebration of the Ascension whatsoever, and I really don't understand that to this day. But it indicated something to me about the curious place of the Ascension in our lives. The feast has a high rank on the official scale. But most of us don't really know what it means for our life. But we talk about it a lot. Let me review some of the prayers that you've heard probably thousands of times from the Eucharistic prayer number one. Father, we celebrate the memory of Christ your Son, we your people and your ministers. Does this sound familiar? We your people and your ministers recall his passion, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into heaven. Eucharistic prayer three. Father, calling to mind the death your Son endured for our salvation, his glorious resurrection and ascension into heaven. Eucharistic prayer four. Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption. We recall Christ's death, his descent among the dead, his resurrection, and his
ascension
into heaven. The Nicene Creed. How many times have you said that? On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. The Apostles' Creed. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. The second glorious mystery of the Rosary, how many times have you said that, is the our opening prayer for today. May we follow him. May we follow Jesus into the new creation. For his ascension is our glory and our hope. Now, that's words we usually reserve for the resurrection. But the Ascension participates in that great action of God. Are there many golfers here? God bless you. In golf, there's an expression called the fifth major. In fact, I think we just celebrated it last weekend. There's four official main events, but there's another event not part of the official four, but clearly more important in everybody's mind than any other tournament. Similarly, you could say that the Ascension in our liturgical schedule is the fourth major. I'm sure you know the three majors, Christmas, Easter, and we're pretty clear on the first two, and Pentecost. So hold your breath. We're going to celebrate that next week. But the ascension, as you can tell from how we pray, it's not one of the official three, but clearly it is important in our understanding of what God did. Christmas, sometimes we misunderstand, it's really about the birth of a baby. It's not. It's about the Word becoming flesh. I think we get that. Easter, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, those are clear enough. Death is swallowed up, heaven is open, sins are forgiven. Pentecost, yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We watch and wait. We need power from on high, tongues of fire, setting our hearts on fire. But for a major feast, what does the ascension mean for us? Is it more than Jesus being relieved of the obnoxiousness of dealing with us knuckleheads all the time? That had to be trying. Back to the glory of heaven, freed from the indignities and limitations of earth. We rejoice in Jesus being faithful. We rejoice in the honor that he is given by the Father. Those are good things. Great substance. But what does this mean for us? I'll mention three things. The ascension is hope for those who are slow of mind. Jesus had some challenges. How many times did he talk to his disciples, saying, okay, now the Son of Man is going to be persecuted. The Son of Man is going to die. Peter says, oh, no, never. Not if I'm around. They'll never do that to you. They didn't get it. His predictions of dying. He said he was going to rise after 3 days. He was going to give them the sign of Jonah. Did they get that? Now, for 40 days, he's been preparing them for the time when he's going to leave them. He said he's not going to be there forever. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's getting them ready. This is the end of his time on earth. You really want Peter finally to be able to say to Jesus, okay, thanks, we get it. You've been patient with us. We understand this Father thing, and you know you're going back, and it's good that you do, and you're going to send us the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to hang out in Jerusalem until all this gets done. Is that what Peter said? Lord, right at the end, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, what does that mean? Not as clear to us, but it means, now are you finally going to kick out the Romans? Are you finally going to make us mighty princes of your great kingdom? Are you now going to blast your enemies to smithereens? Now are we going to see your kingdom? It's actually a little embarrassing. They really didn't get it. Jesus had told them, my kingdom is not of this world. I didn't come to be served. This all has a purpose. Now, our slowness of mind doesn't manifest itself by asking Jesus if he's finally going to kick out the Romans. But we've got our stuff too. Our slowness of mind manifests in more modern ways. Jesus, are you finally going to deliver me from this temptation?
And we forget, my power is made perfect in weakness. Now are you going to answer my prayers? Just like I want you to. Not my will, but yours be done. We've heard that, haven't we? Are you finally going to deliver me from these burdens and vexations? Whoever doesn't pick up his cross daily and follow me cannot be my disciple. Like Peter, we have various ways of saying, are you finally going to do things the way that I've been telling you you need to do them? Now, the ascension is hope for us because Jesus understood Peter here. He let it go. He said it was not now time for them to know all these things. He didn't rebuke them for still not getting it. And that's a lot of patience. He told them that help was on the way. He told them that they were to wait for the promise of the Father. He told them the Holy Spirit would give them power. So even if we don't get it, even if we're not perfect in our responses, if we stick with it, if we persevere, if we don't go away, if we keep looking at Jesus like Peter did, there's hope for us too. The ascension is hope for those who need an advocate. Last week we talked about advocate being a word that's used in the Bible for both the Holy Spirit, we talked about last week, but also it's a word used for Jesus. Because precisely in our second reading, it says Jesus is returning to the Father. He's returning to the right hand of the Father. And there he advocates for you. People come up to me, I'm sure they come up to you after Mass, talking about things. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for my spouse? Will you pray for my child or grandchild? People leave messages at the office, at the rectory. People send me emails. Will you pray for me? Pray for this. That's a good thing. That's why we're here. We're a family together. We want someone to pray for us. We want to know that others are pulling for us. But the ascension reveals who is in the best position to pray for us. Want to send an email? Send it to Jesus. The right hand of the Father, faithful one, at his ear, risen from the dead. The ascension is not about Jesus becoming absent, but about assuming a new role. Now the Holy Spirit's got the earth covered right now. Jesus is advocating, interceding at the right hand of the Father. He's there to plead your cause. Not selfish things, but important ones. Mercy, patience, healing, power. What does God want me to do? The ascension is hope for those who need an advocate. Need someone to pray for them. Need the power that comes from that. The ascension is hope for those who long for glory. Jesus is an example to us in everything. He's gone ahead of us. He was an example to us in humbling himself and taking on our human flesh, emptying himself. He was a model for us in obedience to the Father. He was a model for us in carrying the cross. He's a model for us in what happens to those who remain faithful to God, who keep their hope in him, who love him with all their hearts. They return to their true home. Everything gets put right. Jesus has gone first to where we will follow if we persevere, or at least if we're repentant. His glory now is the glory we were made, we were designed, in faith we're destined to share. I think we desire more than this life can give, more than this world is able to produce, as good as that can be. We long for eternity. We long for infinite beauty. How's your body doing? Could you use an upgrade? How about a new back? Or no medications? Want to be taller, shorter, thinner, younger, older? Sometimes I still want to fly. You want a greater capacity to love. You're sometimes all too aware of your limitations to just take life in, to appreciate beauty, to say what we're feeling, to articulate gratitude, to understand the truth, to experience joy. See, we're made to desire a place where all that is infinitely fulfilled. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that's where we're going to go, where he's gone ahead of us. The ascension is hope for those who long for glory. It's hope for those who need an advocate. It's hope for those who sometimes are a little slow to get it. In the words of our opening prayer today, may we follow him into the new creation. For his ascension is our glory and our hope.